Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Danny Lohr.
Chef, coming up this episode, we're preserving the flavors of the season. You'll show us how to pickle peppers to last through the winter months, and what, oh what, to do with all the tomatillos that you collect from your garden. Well, a salsa verde, of course, so hang tight for those coming up. If you follow us on Twitter, or if you're a fan of us on Facebook, you get our little news updates about stuff going on in the foodie and green worlds. And starting today in the podcast, we'll be bringing you a roundup of the interesting tidbits we found throughout the week. And I have a buddy in the studios with me today to help me out with this, Earth Eats News correspondent Megan Meyer. Hey, Megan.
Hi, Annie.
What do you got for us today?
Well, treehugger.com published a list of 100 new iPhone apps that have cropped up this year that focus on green living and sustainability. There are a few, actually, that help you keep track of your carbon footprint. It's pretty cool. You give it information about your daily activities, and it tells you what your impact on the environment is. And then there are other apps that give you tips on how to green up your life.
There you go. Something interesting for iPhone users out there. Now, Megan, you've got something for homeowners.
Right. Dow said this month that in the next couple years, they will be unveiling solar shingles for your roof. The shingles are different from solar panels in that they're small enough to blend in with the regular shingles. The best part is that contractors don't need any special training to install them, which is part of what makes the installation of solar panels so expensive. It also takes about a third of the time to get them set up, so ultimately it's much more affordable and accessible to use.
There's a limited release of these solar shingles in 2010, and then, Megan, you said a wide release in 2011, so people can keep an eye out for that. Then from one renewable energy source to another, this is a really cool story.
So the Napa Wine Company in California is hosting a project that's turning the wastewater left over from their wine production into hydrogen gas that could be used for things like hydrogen fuel cells. And they're doing it with bacteria.
We're using a completely new process to make the hydrogen from the wastewater. It's called microbial electrolysis.
I was talking to the guy behind all this, Dr. Bruce Logan from Penn State. He's an environmental engineer, and he was telling me that this isn't really that strange. Our bodies do it all the time. We eat food, which is organic matter, and all the chemicals and little microbes in our bodies turn that matter into energy we then use. The problem is tapping into that energy. Logan uses Keanu Reeves' character in The Matrix to explain.
And unless you're hooked up to a machine in The Matrix, people can't produce electricity. That's science fiction. But it's not science fiction that certain microbes have the ability to generate an electrical current outside the cell. So that's why we use bacteria, because they're able to do this.
But there's organic matter in all kinds of places, so I wanted to know why he chose a winery to showcase his work.
And we ended up choosing the winery because it's a good wastewater. It's got a lot of sugars and things bacteria can easily break down. But it's also a place that a lot of people go. You know, are having a good time, and we wanted people to learn about the process.
Nothing like a glass of Cabernet over some bioengineering, right?
I prefer Zinfandel, but you know. You can send us your foodie and green stories to eartheats@gmail.com. Megan, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Annie.
It's getting to be that time of year again, when gardens are looking a little long in the tooth and farmers' markets are closing up shop. But this doesn't mean that you can't enjoy your favorite summer and fall foods all winter long, like, say, peppers.
Yeah, I mean, this time of year when you're saving the flavors of the summer, pickled peppers are one of the best ways, and they also make great gifts for the holidays. So if you do take that extra effort and can them, you can wrap a little ribbon or some raffia around them, and they make perfect gifts for the holiday season.
Talk to me about the spice level of these things, because I have a pretty delicate palate, so I can only take so much.
Well, it all depends on the type of peppers you use. Of course, if you're using something like a habanero that has that real intense flavor, then that's probably not for you.
Not for me.
Or just a little touch maybe. One of the things you can do is to cut away that white membrane and the seeds out of the pepper, and then you get more of the flavor with less of the heat. So that's a good way to tame those little chilies if you need to.
Get other tips like that from Chef Daniel Orr on our website, eartheats.org.
Okay, it's autumn time here in southern Indiana, and one of the things that we like to do, and we talk about it all the time on Earth Eats, is to preserve the season. And one of the ways that you can preserve the season is with some hot chilies. Today what we've done is we've got some habaneros as well as some banana peppers and some Tabasco peppers, and we're going to pickle them. And this way you can use them all throughout the wintertime to make ceviches, to make all different kinds of marinades, to throw some into a barbecue sauce, into a pizza sauce, a pasta sauce. So you'll have them around. And what you do is you just take some plain old white vinegar, distilled white vinegar. Okay, I'd say that's about 2 cups. I'm going to add about 1/4 cup of sugar. And that's going to tame that vinegar a little bit so it won't be quite so astringent. And then we're going to add just a little bit of salt. And again, all of these ingredients are natural preservatives. The vinegar is a preservative, the salt's a preservative, sugar is a preservative. I'm just going to bring that to a boil. And I'm going to add some spices. I've got some cinnamon sticks, a couple slices of ginger I'm going to cram into that jar with the chilies. I've got 3 star anise. And it has an anise flavor, which means it's kind of licorice-y. All right, I'm going to stuff these peppers into a nice ball jar. And I leave the habaneros whole, because if I was to cut them or pierce them, a lot more of the heat would come out and they would be super, super hot. When you leave them whole, you can actually pop them out and you could stick them in a pot of rice and it'll give a nice perfume to the rice without being overheated. Just kind of push all that down. Now my vinegar is boiling, and I'm going to ladle that onto those chili peppers, being careful that I get those cinnamon sticks and star anise pieces in there too, because they're going to continue to give off flavor as it sits and marinates. And these would make really great Christmas gifts. They're very, very pretty. I'm just kind of cram these spices down there a little bit. And so let it cool down to room temperature, and then you can store these in the refrigerator. You haven't hermetically sealed these, so you can't just leave them out at room temperature. They should be refrigerated. But in the refrigerator, they'll last 6 to 8 months.
So once you got these great peppers, there's lots of things you can do with them. I love to put them on sandwiches, toss them in pastas, use them in vinaigrettes for salads, or even just serve them on top of grilled salmon, chicken, or pork. They also make a great addition to your vegetarian dishes. Just a couple nice gleaming slabs of tofu with some of these chili peppers on top that you've pickled are just wonderful. So make sure you get in the kitchen and get canning.
From pickled peppers, now to salsa verde, another hot and flavorful way to preserve the flavors of the season. Chef, your garden in Columbus, Indiana is so expansive. We collected our peppers and then turned around, walked 5 paces, and picked a whole slew of tomatillos. And I do mean a whole slew of tomatillos. They were everywhere. You said you hadn't planted new plants in 10 or 15 years, and they're still coming up all over the place.
Yeah, it's great. In the springtime, we have our asparagus that comes up, and then our rhubarb. And then in that same patch, after those have kind of died down a little bit, we've got our tomatillos in July, August, and September.
So you've got millions of these little things. What are you supposed to do with them?
Well, tomatillos, are kind of like a green tomato from Mexico and south of the border kind of flavors. So we tend to use them for that kind of thing. But when they're perfectly ripe, they almost kind of blush purple, some different types of tomatillos. And they're just great to eat out of hand like a tomato, like a cherry tomato. But I also like to do fire-roasted salsas and different types of salsas, salsa verde, mix them with some green chilies and have something a little bit spicy that you can put over your huevos rancheros.
Huevos rancheros, that sounds mighty tasty. Chef, you'll be giving us other recipe suggestions for those tomatillos in just a minute. Don't forget, out there, podcast listeners, that you can see photos of everything you hear today on our website, eartheats.org.
Well, tomatillos, they are, if you've ever heard of a ground cherry, that's kind of an old Midwestern fruit. It's a husk tomato. And they look kind of like Japanese lanterns here. You know?
They really do.
And so you have these long branches that cascade throughout the garden. And, you know, wherever they drop, they'll come back the next year if you don't get them picked up in time. So they have this kind of papery husk on the outside. And you just kind of tear that off.
And poof.
And there you go. It's a tomatillo. And they are, you know, a lot of people have never eaten a raw tomatillo. They get salsa verde in a Mexican restaurant. But taste this. It's almost like a fruit. I mean, it's almost like a melon.
Yeah. But it's still fairly mild.
Yeah, a citrusy melon. So let's go in the kitchen and get these roasted up. So I'm just going to give these guys a nice wash. Tomatillos sometimes have kind of a sticky residue on the outside of them, so just want to give that a rinse. And I'm going to chop up some onions. And to make a nice batch of salsa, you probably need about 15-20 tomatillos and one big white onion, one chili pepper, and you can use whatever is your favorite. Okay, what we're going to do is toss these in a bowl. Okay, I'm going to add my chili pepper. We're going to put a little lemon zest in this one. We're going to put in about 4 or 5 cloves of garlic. And I'm going to toss that with just a couple tablespoons of olive oil. And what we're going to do different about this salsa is it's not going to be a raw salsa. We're going to roast these vegetables off, get them a little caramelized, and that will give them a lot of great flavor. Okay, and then we're going to put these under the broiler. What we want to do is to caramelize them a little bit, get a little bit of color on them, and that's also going to evaporate some of the moisture in the onions and the tomatillos, which will make the sauce a little bit thicker and give it great flavor.
This is a perfect time to tell you to not worry about following along with Chef Orr as he's preparing this dish. Put the pencil and paper away and instead visit our website for the complete recipe, eartheats.org.
All right, so now it's got nice and caramelized. You can kind of see that it's cooked down a little bit. And we're going to take this and put it in the food processor. And again, you know, as we say on Earth Eats, we want you to make these recipes your own. You can add whatever flavors you like. If cilantro, if you have a bunch of cilantro in your garden, it would be great. I'm going to use some basil. So I've got probably about a cup of basil here. I'm going to add another toe of raw garlic. I always call these toes instead of cloves because I think they look kind of like a toe. Okay, and I'm going to just cut that up a little bit. And we're going to pulse this. Okay, let me grab a spoon and give it a taste. That's pretty good. I'm going to add a little bit of lemon juice to it to kick up the acidity factor. Well, it has almost an unctuous feeling in your mouth. Those tomatillos are different than tomatoes. The basil make it a little different than the typical cilantro, so it doesn't taste quite as familiar. But try different things. Try some basil. Try some mint in this would be nice. Try, you know, whatever herbs you have around. Some tarragon could even be good with this.
But the salsa is not the only thing you can do with tomatillos. There's lots of other great recipes. One of my favorite is to make a Maria Verde, which is my version of a Mexican Bloody Mary using these green tomatoes.
Sounds good to me. Go to the website to find out more about tomatillos and preserving flavors of the season, eartheats.org. Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop.
Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media.
I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr. See you next time.